That's it's I've yet to see any entity in the exec branch where they get year-over-year adjustments for inflation. That doesn't typically be the way they do it. So having a gap would be consistent with the way in which those entities that do get inflationary adjustments are treated.
Fair enough. All right, so we'll do it that way. So 23 in, 24 out.
Judge,
25.
if I might, I'm sorry, just one point, because I think it's important to the trial courts. The need to get it indexed, though, that is something I see as a priority, and I just don't want to seem dismissive of that point. That is important. I think if you delay for a year, the next time we've got to ring the bell pretty loud again for the request to be indexed so that we don't have to do this incremental asking. It just becomes a part of the normal formula for our branch funding. So just wanted to make sure that's clear for the trial courts. That's an important point.
I agree, but I also noticed that if you that the that item clocks in as they built it at 162 million, in addition to the equity funding of 148, now we're at 300 million, and I don't see both of them getting through the door. And it just seems
Yeah.
like based on the conversation that we had today and that they hadn't ticked back that we all listened to, or that you and I were there, that I think that the item 23 is more mission critical right now, and that we would use the tactic you've outlined going forward when we
I think
start up
that's a
again
good
on the call.
strategy, Judge. I should clarify the 148.1 that's identified here. We've done some additional calculations that if the 72 million is included, if you see the with the 60 million for backlog funding, if that is put in the branch, that the overall level, the 148, comes down a bit. I think it's about 97 million or so. And so we would adjust this to balance out as money's coming into the branch for the 85%. So I don't want the committee to think that the true value right now is 148 million, but as the governor's put his May revise out, and we're watching and seeing how that this number will be adjusted.
Fair enough. All right. Then 25 is the maintenance of effort backfill. After all of our conversations over this year and last, I would suggest that we, because the administration has been so responsible about backfilling the shortfall anyway, then it would just seem that this is one we didn't have to go forward on. It is important, but that it seems like it's happening anyway. Does anybody disagree?
No.
Okay, thank you, Ann. So 25 would come out. We've already taken care of 26. And then 27 is that data management piece that we've all said is important. So that would seem like we would keep that in as we start kind of this new era in the branch. And the way I see it, which gets us back to we've left, it seems like Justice Hill made kind of an impassioned plea on item two, which is the appellate security for 1.5 million. Thoughts on that one? I
So,
see Justice
Judge, I
Fujisaki is
think
probably
that.
also making, Justice Fujisaki wants to say something. Go ahead.
This is the one where I think, John, you said that not the as well as far as the report here, we haven't identified changed circumstances. And I know Justice Hill, I'm sure, is privy to more than what's in the public. Can we make a Is it possible to make a strong case for this? that will give John and Zlatko the ammunition to, or the basis for maintaining this request?
I would hope to work with Lieutenant Borgen and the other APJs and John and Slotko and see what we might be able to do in that regard. And I think that given the concerns that have been evidenced by some of the APJs, I would not want to pull that at this juncture, especially in light of security concerns. And if at some point later it needs to be, we could do that, but I would like to at least move it forward, given that out of the hundreds of millions of dollars in requests, this is a fairly de minimis amount and a relatively large cost if we don't do it right.
Well, my thought is this. I think I've come to agree with Justice Hill on this one, and but let's do it the way he said it. Let's move it forward, but have him working with Zlatko and John, and if the business case just doesn't come through, we just can't get it crystallized in a way that it has any hope, then maybe Brad and John and Zlatko decide to kind of pull it. How's that sound? And if it feels like we can make it different than it has been in the past, we keep it moving.
Yeah.
How's that sound?
That works for me, as long as it works for John and Zlatko, but I think that we can work and see in discussions with DOF what information they might need to make a favorable case, and we'll do our best.
Okay, and so I say we include it. Does anybody feel differently? All right, by my count, with all the combining that we've done, and we've only done a couple of deletions, but with all the combining, there's only 13 BCPs going forward.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Ann.
What did we do with number 14?
I said we combined it with 13. Did I miss that?
That's what we did, Judge Norman.
That's what I have, yeah. Judge Rubin, would you mind if we walked down the list and kind of stated where we landed on everything so I have it for the council report?
Yes, and so we'll also have it for a motion.
Yes.
This is what I have. Anybody feel free to correct me. Item 1 was combined with item 16. Item 2 is a standalone, but it will proceed forward kind of working with Zlatko and John and Ms. Mueller to see if we can create a different, better, more augmented business case. Otherwise, we'll pull it later. Item 3 is going forward. Item 4 is combined with 17, 18, 19, and 26. Item 5 is going forward. Items 6, 7, 8 are combined kind of as a criminal justice BCP package. Item 9 is going forward. Item 10 is in the current budget. So that's being deleted. Item 11 is being combined with item 15, kind of a deferred maintenance package. Item 12 comes out because it's in the budget. Items 13 and 14 we just talked about are combined. That takes us down to item 20 is going forward. Item 21 is going forward. Item 22, tick back, pulled out. Item 23 is going forward. We decided in conjunction with item 23 that we would rest and take a year off on item 24. Item 25, we're not going to proceed with because it seems like it's administration's policy already. Item 26, we discussed, and then item 27 is a standalone going forward. Ms. Cowan, does that track with what you have?
That does, and I have a total of 602.2 million for the requests that would move forward.
In terms of heft, Ms. Cowan, Mr. Woodlaw, Mr. Theodorovic, Ms. Mueller, is that out of line with where you've been in the past? I can't remember.
No, it's not an out of alignment, Judge. We have had larger requests in the past. The general reaction from finance has been, though, that, you know, when we push numerous proposals forward, they react, but our reaction back is, and we are a branch of government. If you looked at the executive branch with all the departments and things, you tallied up all their department requests, it would far exceed our requests. And so I don't see a problem with what you've got here.
Okay. Motion?
I'll move to recommend to the council the budget change proposals as grouped in our discussion today.
I'll second.
I heard the, oh, guys, Justice Hill. All right. Motion by Mormon, second by Justice Hill. All right, discussion. All right, seeing none or hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I think Kevin may have had a question, though.
Kevin, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm slow on raising my hand, so thank you. And I think that the vote has already been taken place.
No,
but
no,
I was
no,
just going to
go
ask.
Back. We can go back. Don't worry.
Well, it, and maybe I should have raised this sooner, but the item 25 on the civil assessment backfill.
Yes.
I think that the way that it's described in the materials is there's an equity component to 38 of 58 courts having to meet their MOE obligation before receiving anything dollar for dollar. And I didn't know if that flowed or we're making a choice of one or the other, given that we're going to pursue equity of a minimum of 85% in item 23. I'm not sure if those, I don't know if Fran wants to speak to that, or maybe John want to weigh in on that choice, or I think that the equity concern exists on that BCP as well. So I think that that's a priority going forward as, you know, eliminating 24 and going with 23, letting inflationary costs rest. I just want to make sure that that was, I guess, spoken to a little bit more or discussed. So sorry to slow the meeting that way.
No, it's totally fine. Thank you for doing that. MOEs are a complicated area, obviously, for a variety of reasons. So let me ask Mr. Wardlaw, Ms. Mueller, Mr. Theodorovic to maybe address Mr. Harrigan's concern.
Yeah, it's a great point. And so kind of the history and all, I might need some help from my folks. But generally, there was a policy decision made years ago where through the budget process, the counties were relieved of an obligation of $48.3 million for the judiciary. And in response to that, the Judicial Council obligated 38 courts to be responsible for through a civil assessment MOE, basically backfilling behind that hole. And that was made at the council level. Now, the administration since that point has adopted a backfill policy to the extent that any court that is not able to meet their MOE obligation with respect to the $48.3 million, they will backfill. And so, that's how they make the $48.3 million whole with general fund dollars. They do that because the $48.3 million is used for base allocations for trial court operations. They don't extend that same beyond our civil assessments, beyond that $48.3 million. Now, the equity issue, and this is an important point that Kevin's making, is the 20 courts that don't have an MOE obligation, whatever dollar they collect, they're able to retain in the form of retained civil assessments. So you can have a court, court A has an obligation, just hypothetically, I'll say their obligation is $7 million. So for their MOE requirement, if they bring in $7 million, they don't keep any of those dollars. They all go to the trial court trust fund in the form of the trial court allocations for base funding. Court B, who's right next door to them, doesn't have an MOE requirement. They collect $7 million and they get to keep all $7 million. And so from the discussions that the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee has had, is that equity factor of, hey, wait a minute, one court that is in the 38 court bucket, the dollars they collect, they don't get to keep all of those dollars. Any dollar in excess of their MOE amount, they can keep. Other courts aren't treated the same, and they keep retain every dollar for their court operations, which is a challenge to many of the 38 courts. And so, Kevin, if I've mischaracterized that in any way, please correct me, but I that's my understanding of the issue there.
You said it better than I could have, John. I just I wasn't sure if that was clear in the materials, and I just want to make sure that that reconciled with our preference or move towards equity as a brand.
This is David. So I think it does, because as John Wardlaw was just saying, is the administration, so that 48.3 million brings everyone to zero, but the administration is bringing everyone to zero who's below anyway. The other issue that John brings up is something that goes back, because I've had to be educated about this. Zlatko, John, everybody has spent hours and hours with me explaining it. And it's very, very complicated, but it goes back literally decades. And it's in, some of it's even in statute. And so it's just where it is. And I think that as long as we do it the way we're doing it, it's going to be fine, because the administration is not saying we're going to equalize everybody's civil assessment money. What they're simply saying is, if you come short, we're going to fill it in for you. We'll backfill you up to the total amount.
Judge, there's a bit of strategy as well. That if you don't mind, I'll take another minute.
No, take it.
So with regard to the $60 million that the governor has provided budget bill language on for backlogs, the science or calculation behind the $60 million, that ties directly to retained civil assessment dollars that the courts have been losing over the last few years. Earlier, I described three broad structural areas: workload funding, civil assessment revenue that's declined, and so the three buckets, that civil assessment, we are strategically having conversations about the impacts on courts' direct ability to provide services. That $60 million, it's not by coincidence, it is by design. That's what it ties to. We'll be having conversations with the legislature about that. Where I'm going with this is there's a broader conversation going on about the structural impacts associated with fines and fees, revenue depletion, and our ability to operate our courts. And so that equity conversation is going on. I think that that will continue. I fully expect that at some point we may be asking for permanency of the funding request. The administration's perspective, should this committee decide to move forward with a $48.3 million request on MOE, I don't think it will get traction with the administration, because their perspective is they already provide general fund backfill all the way up to the $48.3 million if it's not collected. I understand completely Kevin's point that, but there's an internal branch conversation about the equity of one court having to not keep their retained civil assessments while another court next door does. That feels to me like it's an internal conversation that needs to happen amongst the branch. And more broadly, a conversation about civil assessments and the revenue depletion to the courts and a need for general fund or some other permanent source, reliable source of funding that come in to backfill behind what we are losing, not because of our own actions, but because of policy decisions about what folks are obligated to pay. So two different issues, and we are definitely having the broader conversation about the impacts of civil assessments and how they are diminishing and compromising the court's ability to operate.
Can I ask a question? All right, great, perfect. I'll have a question later. So let me ask you this, Kevin, based on what you've heard, are you prepared to go forward with us at least having the motion and discussing it? Or do you need more information?
I'm prepared to vote in support of the motion as previously made.
Oh, I didn't mean that. I meant like, are we okay to go forward, or do you want to maybe make a, you know, friendly amendment or anything like that?
No amendment. Ready to move forward. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All right. Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? It passes. Let me ask this before we go into our closed session. Would there be benefit? Would anybody here feel like there would be benefit to them of having me getting Zlatko or Mr. Theodorovic, Ms. Mueller, and Mr. Wardlaw to give a educational session about the history of MOEs, the different kinds of MOE that there are, and kind of how they've evolved over, say, the last, I don't know, 20, 25 years? And if anybody have an interest in that? Okay, so that's...
Well, I think we should do that. It's a tough subject, but yeah, I think that would be very useful, very educational, and, you know, would require all the brain power in the room devoted to on that day.
All right, Judge Mormon, that was very kind of you, because everybody else was staring at me, and I was feeling embarrassed. So thank you for that. Great. We will set that up and I will talk to the three of them and get that going. And it will take, it's going to be long. That'll be 60 to 90 minutes. And that's just to give you the overview. All right. Great. Outstanding. We are now going to go to closed session. And let me thank, first of all the staff people who came on the phone or came online with us, all of the committee members, all the members of the public who have listened this far, to everything this far. And now we are going to go, you stay on the line, stay with us, and we are going to kick out anybody who is not part of our closed session. So if you're not part of closed session, just say if you're not on the committee or our committee assigned staff, if you could please log off. That includes
you can close the live feed.
Right. And I-